Perceiving our personal bliss, you are always transcendental to the waves of material nature. Therefore, my Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. You are the supreme controller of the senses and your expansions of form are unlimited. You are the greatest, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Therefore, this verse analytically differentiates the living entity from the supreme Lord. The form of the Lord and the form of the conditioned soul are different because the Lord is always blissful, whereas the conditioned soul is always under the threefold miseries of the material world. The supreme Lord is Satchidananda Vigraha. He derives Ananda bliss from his own self. The Lord's body is transcendental, spiritual, but because the conditioned soul is a material body, he has many bodily and mental troubles. The conditioned soul is always perturbed by attachment and detachment, whereas the Supreme Lord is always free from dualities. The Lord is the Supreme Master of all the senses, whereas the conditioned soul is controlled by the senses. The Lord is the greatest, whereas the living entity is the smallest. The living entity is conditioned by the waves of material nature, but the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all actions and reactions. The expansions of the Supreme Lord's body are innumerable, but the conditioned soul is limited to only one form. From history, we learn that conditioned soul by mystic power can sometimes expand into eight forms, but the Lord's bodily expansions are unlimited. This means that the bodies of the Supreme Personality of God have no beginning and no end, unlike the bodies of the living entities. X-21 words and mind of the control conditioned soul cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for material names and forms are not applicable to the Lord, who is entirely spiritual beyond the conception of gross and subtle forms. The impersonal Brahman is another of his forms. May he, by his pleasure, protect us. Purport the impersonal Brahman, which is the effulgence of the Lord, described in this verse. Text 22, as pots are made of earth, are situated on earth after being created and are transformed into earth again when broken, its cause and manifestation is caused by the Supreme Brahman, situated in the Supreme Brahman and annihilated in the same Supreme Brahman. Therefore, since the Supreme Lord is the cause of Brahman, let us offer him our respectful obeisances. Purport, the Supreme Lord is the cause of the cosmic manifestation, maintains it after creation, after annihilation. The Lord is the reservoir of everything. Text 23. The Supreme Brahman emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and expands like the sky. Although untouched by anything material, it exists within and without. Nonetheless, the mind, the intelligence, the senses, and living force can never touch him nor know him. I offer unto him my respectful obeisances. So here's a whole series of, namaskars or prayers in which the King Chitraketu offers his obeisances to the Lord. These are actually some prayers taught to him by Narada Muni. So he says Namaha, etc. And he describes the Lord in various ways. So we saw that he is described here as a Bhagavan, Vasudeva, Pradhamna, Aniruddha, Shankarshan, etc. And then he is described particularly with different, not just his names, but with his particular terms, which indicate his various qualities. So from this, we understand that the Supreme Entity is a person with qualities. He is not impersonal. So though he is addressed here also as Brahman, etc., Chinmatra, etc., which means simply consciousness, he also has different qualities. For instance, it says here that he expands himself into Ananta Murti, unlimited forms. He is completely, at the same time, completely one person. He is one, but he is also many. He pervades everywhere. He's within everything. At the same time, he's outside of everything. So in this way, we just have a description of the Lord which is contradictory. He is one, but he is many. He is inside, but he's outside. He is the whole material world, and he's beyond the material world. So this is due to what we call the Achintya Shakti, or inconceivable Shakti of the Lord. By his very nature, he can do things which look impossible to us. So he can be one, but he can be many. Now, of course, I think of the example of a yogi who can expand his body into eight forms. With great effort, he can do that after some sadhana. And he's limited to eight bodies. And they are expansions from one body. The Lord is different. It's not that one body has its extensions everywhere. The one body is everywhere. Which is difficult to conceive of, because generally we take an object and if it's here, it cannot be here. An object is an object and it has a certain place in time and space. And it cannot be simultaneously somewhere else. The Lord can be in many places simultaneously and still be one. So that is difficult for us to conceive of. But that is exactly what Narada Muni expressed when he went to the palaces of Krishna and Dwarka, and instantaneously, within a second, he would go from one palace to the other quickly. And then he saw Krishna in all the palaces. And it wasn't expansion, it was actually Krishna. And each queen said, oh, Krishna's only with me, because this is Krishna. And no one could conceive of how he was simultaneously everywhere. So it wasn't just an expansion, actually it was Krishna.
the yogi another, and expands his forms, but those forms are also limited. And is they can do so much and only limited number. So Krishna can expand himself unlimitedly, and then at the same time he can also be one. So when Krishna went out of the palaces, suddenly the forms all became one, and he went into the assembly as one person. When he went back into the palaces, then he was 16,108 forms. And they were all doing different things. So that is the nature of Krishna. Similarly, in the Ras Lila, there were 3 billion gopis. And so Krishna expanded himself for each gopi. And each gopi thought, Krishna's with me. And simultaneously, Krishna was with Radha in the center. But no one could see that. They were saying, Krishna's with me. And Krishna was having pastimes with each gopi individually. So effortlessly, Krishna can expand in so many forms. Simultaneously, Krishna's in the universes. How many universes are there? We don't know. We cannot count. And Krishna's in all those universes also, performing his pastimes and expanding into all these other forms, etc. So this is the nature of the Supreme Lord. And if he wants, he can expand in different forms. So therefore we have all the different avatar forms. They're also one of the Lord, but different in form. So this is impossible for us to conceive of with the material mind. Objects do not behave like that in the material world. But it is very easy for the Supreme Lord to do this. To be one and to be many. And to be outside and but to be inside. So, in the pastime with Mother Yasoda, when she looked in Krishna's mouth, she saw the universe inside Krishna. But then she looked outside Krishna and she saw the universe outside her. So simultaneously, Krishna was in the universe, but the universe was in Krishna. But how can it be? And she looked inside very carefully. It was the same universe. Because in that universe she saw Vrindavan, and in Vrindavan she saw Krishna, and she saw Yasoda looking in Krishna's mouth even. So it was the same universe inside him and outside him. So that's also impossible. So Krishna's inside and outside simultaneously. So impossible from a normal point of view. But Krishna could arrange this by his Sarup Shakti, his Yogamaya Shakti. And effortlessly. So Krishna doesn't have to think, now I have to expand myself into this form and bewilder Mother Yasoda. His Shakti, Lila Shakti automatically does this. And his Aishwarya Shakti automatically does this for him. So in this way, he showed to Mother Yasoda that he was both things. So this is the astonishing nature of the Supreme Lord, that he can be several things at once. Simultaneously, he can be Bhagavan, and he can be Paramatma, and he can be Brahma. Of course, because he can be avatars and so many other things and be one, it is not astonishing he can also be Brahman and Paramatma. These are also forms of the Lord, so to speak. So he can be all of these things and still be one. But this is the amazing quality of the Supreme Lord. He can have a form, and because it is a form, it is limited. If it is a form, we can measure it. He's got a form. If no form, of course, we can't measure. We cannot measure Brahman. No form. Supreme Lord has a form, so we can measure that form. Krishna is a small child and fits in the lap of Mother Yasoda. He has a dimension, so to speak. But then Krishna showed he is beyond dimension, because when Mother Yasoda tried to tie up Krishna, she couldn't tie him up. All the rope in the whole village, and could not even extend around Krishna's waist. So simultaneously he is in her arms. At the same time, he's huge beyond the universe, bigger than the universe. So this is contradictory for us, but then it is very easily executed by the Supreme Lord. So he can be different forms or even no form simultaneously, as being a localized form. So this is the astonishing nature of the Supreme Lord. He can also be the material world. So this is very famous because we see in the scriptures that Brahman is everything. Supreme Lord is the universe. And simultaneously, he isn't the universe. So he is and he isn't. He is material nature and he's not material nature. This again is contradictory. He's completely separate from matter, and he also is matter because he's everything. So another contradiction. So again, this is simply the Supreme Lord. By his Shakti, his amazing Shakti, he can be both one and supreme and separate from matter, and simultaneously he can be matter itself. One with matter and different from matter. So again, this is due to the Shakti of the Lord. So therefore we cannot speculate with our material mind. Achintya means inconceivable, cannot think of it, that's what it means. Or atarkya, and we cannot argue about it. Something beyond our whole experience, and logic cannot approach it at all. So this is actually the Supreme Lord. Fortunately, we can also use logic to understand the Lord. So that logic is the logic which is presented in the scriptures. That much we can use to understand about the Supreme Lord. So using logic we can make sentences and understand sentences and understand concepts, etc., which are presented in the scriptures. That's logic. So we can use logic in pursuance of what scripture is telling us. So we can get some understanding of the Supreme Lord using logical principles, as long as it follows the scripture. And again, to come to the conclusion of scripture, we have to follow logic. In other words, if we take every statement in the Bhagavatam as absolutely true, we end up with contradiction. Because it glorifies jnana and yoga and karma, etc. It glorifies Shiva and others. So, who is actually supreme? So by logic, then we come to a conclusion where there is no contradiction. So logic is also useful, but that logic is according to principles enunciated in the scripture and using the scripture as a basis. Then we can come to truth itself. Once we establish that truth for ourselves, then we have to realize that. We have to perceive that. We cannot perceive that with material eyes. We cannot conceive of that ultimately with the material mind. So that is why, along with the knowledge that we get through the scriptures presented through logic, we also have to have a practice by which we can realize the Lord. So the knowledge itself is not enough. We also have to have a practice that gives us perception of the Lord. So that process is the process of bhakti. So we have this mantra, or series of mantras here, verses describing the Supreme Lord. These act as a process for Chitraketu to realize the Lord. In other words, they are part of bhakti. He uses these to chant the name of the Lord and understand his relationship with the Lord. And then through that, Shankarshan appeared. So the scripture also provides us not only with the truth about who is the Supreme Lord, it also presents the method of perceiving him. That is the process of bhakti. So here we have one of the processes, these chanting of these mantras by which Chitraketu realized the Supreme Lord in the form of Shankarshan.
Other, not Vasudeva,
the will of the Lord. Generally, the devotee chooses one particular form to worship. Here we have a whole presentation of many forms. So sometimes that is so. One has a more general worship of the Lord where he worships many forms. But it is considered superior to concentrate on one form of the Lord. And then the Lord appears in that particular form. And if one is not particular, and one worships many forms, what form is the Lord going to appear in? That's up to the Lord. He can appear in any of those forms. So here he appeared as Sankarsha.
Thank you.